The following is a class on the Nectar of Devotion, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on January 2nd, 1973, in Bombay, India.
Nectar of Devotion. This eternal engagement in Bhakti Rasa can be understood by a serious student upon studying the Nectar of Devotion. Adoption of Bhakti Rasa, or Krishna consciousness, will immediately bring one to an auspicious life, free from anxiety, and will bless one with transcendental existence, thus minimizing the value of liberation. Bhakti Rasa itself is sufficient to produce a feeling of liberation because it attracts the attention of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Generally, neophyte devotees are anxious to see Krishna, or God, but God cannot be seen or known by our present materially blunt senses. The process of devotional service, as it is recommended in the Nectar of Devotion, will gradually elevate one from the material condition of life to the spiritual status, wherein the devotee becomes purified of all designations.
Yes. The process of seeing God Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swami was Puratak. Ada Sri Krishna Navadi Navabi Grayam Indri. Just like a person suffering from some disease, his eyesight is blocked. He has got the eyesight to see. But on account of some cataract disease, he cannot see. Similarly, God is there, and I can see Him also. But the cataract of illusion is covering via media between God and me. Therefore, the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Tremanyana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Ridayesu Vilokayanti Yam Shyamasundaram Achinta Gunasarupam Govindamadi Purusam Tamaham Bhajami. That treatment is to invoke your dormant love for God. That is the treatment. We have got love for God. We want to love somebody, either man or woman, even animals. You'll find between the two dogs there is love. They are jumping over one another, playing very nicely. Sometimes the mother dog is pretending to bite the calf, but actually it is not biting. So this loving propensity is there, living entity, everywhere. It doesn't matter whether it is man or animal. The love is there. But at the present moment, it is being pervertedly reflected. Just like love between Krishna and Mother Yashoda. That love is reflected here also between the mother and the child, the same love. Because unless there is love in the absolute, there cannot be any exhibition of love in the relative world. The Vedanta Sutra says, Janmardasya Jataha. Everything is emanating from the Absolute. So there is love. Just like Radha Krishna, love. Kishore Kishori, young Krishna, young Radharani. This love is pervertedly reflected in this material world, which is in the name of love, but it is lust. Therefore it is called perverted bliss. It lasts because a young boy, a young girl mixed together, they love together, but a slight disagreement, they separate. Why? Because that is not love, that is lust. The lust is going on in the name of love, but the reflection is from there. Therefore it is called maya. The same love between father and mother, father and son, vatsalya ras, madhurya ras, sakha ras, friendship. Here we have got friends, but a slight disagreement, we separate. Master and servant, dasya ras. A servant is very faithful, so long you pay. As soon as stop payment, no more service, finished. Therefore, it is to be understood that the love with Krishna in the platform of madhurya ras, vatsalya ras, sakha ras, dasya ras, shanta ras, that is the real platform in the spiritual world. And because the love affairs are there in the absolute, that is reflected in this relative world. And here is also the same love is there, but it is not very palatable. It is not without any fault. There are so many faults. The real love can be reciprocated with Krishna. In the material world, there cannot be any real love. The real love cannot be appreciated with our these material senses. Whatever we appreciate or experience by the material senses, that is not love, that is lust. Motive, there is a motive. One is friend of another person, very intimate friends, that both of them have got some motive. As soon as the motive is frustrated, they separate. These things we find, even husband and wife, as soon as the sense gratification is disturbed, immediately there is divorce between husband and wife. So, therefore, we have to invoke our love for Krishna, then our loving propensity will be actually satisfied. Otherwise, we will be frustrated. That is going on. We may admit or not admit, but this frustration of love affair is going on. So if we, that same thing, we repose in Krishna. If I want to love my son, if I accept Krishna as my son, just like Yashoda Mai accepted. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but by devotional service, he agrees to become a son. Just like Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, in their previous lives, they underwent severe austerities, and their aim was that we shall have a son like God, like Krishna. So, after their performance of austerities for many thousands of years, when Krishna appeared before them, what benediction he want? So, they proposed that we want a son like you. Then we enter into family life, otherwise not. So, Krishna said, where shall I get a son like me? I shall become. This is the fact. And therefore, although Krishna took his birth as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, immediately ordered Vasudeva to transfer him to Vrindavan, to Yashoda. So the pleasure of having son was enjoyed by Yashoda and Nanda, not Devaki and Vasudeva, although they really gave birth to. And when Krishna was grown up, then went to his real father, Vasudeva and Devaki. So actually, Krishna's crawling, Krishna's disturbing the mother, Krishna's stealing the butter, so many things as child does reciprocates with the father and mother, parent. This lila was demonstrated in Vrindavan. Although Mother Yashoda and Vasudeva, Nanda Maharaj, they were foster father and mother. So everyone can have Krishna as his son. Everyone can have Krishna as his friend. Everyone can have Krishna as his master. Dasyaras, Sukhras, Madhuryas. Even everyone can have Krishna as their parama. These things are very difficult to understand, but these rasas, they are called rasas, parokya rasa. The parokya rasa means just that a man or woman has got his husband or wife, but he has got love with others. That is called parokya rasa. That is most abominable in this material world, but that is most first-class thing in the spiritual world. Parokya rasa, jaha brajete pracha. So these things are very higher principles of spiritual life, but we can understand that whatever we are experiencing in this material world, that thing in its pure form is existing in the Supreme Absolute. That is fact. Otherwise, they cannot be manifested in this material. Just like on the bank of a tank pond, there is a tree, and you find the tree just upharted. The upper portion of the tree has gone down. That is described in the Bhagavad Gita, find out in the 15th chapter. Udhamulam adho shakha asattam prahu abhayam. Find out this verse. This material world is the reflection. Udhamulam. Generally, the tree has got its root down. But the material world, it is described as a big banyan tree, but the root is upwards. Read it.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Udhamulam Adhapshakam Asvattam Dharmaravyayam Chandansi Yasuparnani Yastam Veda Savedavit.
Yastam Veda Savedavit. What is the translation?
The Blessed Lord said, there is a banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas.
Yes. One who knows this tree, he knows the Vedas. That means, the Vedas says, Janma Ardhasya Jataha. That is Vedanta Sutra. Where from this material world is coming? That is absolute truth. The atheist class men, they cannot think that there is a cause. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Jagadahu Anishvara, Jagadahu Anishvara, what is that? Find out. 16th chapter. They say that this material cosmic manifestation, this world, is no, that is the last one. You find out 16th chapter. No, in the beginning. Beginning, read 16th chapter.
Abhayam sattvasam shuddhya jnana yoga vyavastiti dhanam damascha yajnascha svadhyaya tapa ajavam ahimsa satyam akrodasya dakshantya tapaishunam daya bhute polobuktvam madhavam virachapalam tejas shamar pratikshocham adroho natimanita bhavanti sambadam.
Daivin, these are daivi sampa, spiritual qualification. And what is the material qualification? Next.
Dambho dambho vimanascha krodhapha yushyamevacha ajnanam cha vijatasya bhata sampadam
asurin. These are the asurin qualities. Read the translation.
Arrogance, pride, anger, conceit, harshness and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature.
Yes, the first one, the most important thing is ignorance. They do not know actually things as they are, but still they become a leader. Andhajathan bhiruko niyamana. Then what is their other qualities? Go on.
Daivi sampad vimokshaya nibandha daya surimata marsha sampadam daivim abhijato sipandava.
Daivi sampad, if you acquire daivi sampad, then you become liberated from this material bondage. But if you acquire the asurik sampad, then you become entangled. Go on, let's.
Dvau bhuta sarvo lokesmin daiva asura eva cha daivo vistarasha prokta asuram bhatamekshana.
Now Krishna says that there are two kinds of men, two classes of men. One class, daiva, or demigods, and the other class, asura. So I have spoken many things about the daivas. Now I shall speak about the symptoms of the asuras. What is the asura?
Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidurasura na shocham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate.
Now describe this.
Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done.
That is the first qualification of the demons. They do not know what is right doing and what is wrong doing. Suppose we, just like we restrict anyone who comes to our camp to become our student, we restrict that you should not do this or you should do this. Anywhere, if you go to a physician, he will say also that you shall do this, some do's and some do nots. So the asuras, they do not know, because they have no direction. They do not know what are the do's and what are the do-nots. This is the first qualification of the asura. They do not know, because they do not like to take lesson from superior. They manufacture their own lesson. Then?
Na shocham, na pichacharo, na satyam teshu vidyate. Asatyam apatishtam.
This is the asatyam. This is the first time. Asatyam
apatishtam te
jagadahura nishtam. This is their first proposition. There is zero asatyam.
Thank you.
Asattam apratisthant. They do not find out that there is a cause of this material manifestation. Without any cause. The materialistic scientists say there was a chunk. And what is that chunk theory? All of a sudden the chunk become disturbed and there was split and the creation came into existence. Jagadabhu anishwaram. There is no God. There is no existence of God. Every religion says, the Christian religion also says, the Mohammedan religion says, the Hindu religion says, that God created this cosmic manifestation of this material world. But the Asuras will say, there is no God, there is no creator. Jagadabhu anishwaram. Then?
Aparasparasam
bhutam kimanyat kam ahetukam. Just like a man, an old man, accidentally ignite and there is a child. Similarly, there is no purpose. Somehow or other, the material energy came into existence and therefore there is creation. This is their argument. This is Asuric argument or the demonic argument. But the Vedas says no. Vedas says that janmadasajataha, there is original, absolute truth, or God is He, from everything emanates, janmadasajataha. And that God must be sentient. He is not insane, not zero, the Sunnavadi. He has got brain, he is person. That is explained. The Vedanta Sutra says, Janmadasya Jataha. Now, that absolute truth from where everything is emanating is discussed in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Bhagavatam is accepted as the real commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Real commentary. Bhashyam Brahma Sutranam Vedartha Paribinghitam. These are the statements and this is accepted by the Acharya. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, therefore, the Goswamis, they did not write any comment on the Vedanta Sutra, although other acharyas like Ramanucharya, Madhyacharya, they wrote commentaries on the Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra. But our Goswamis, they did not write purposefully, because they accept that there is already natural, a perfect commentary written by the same author, Vyasdev, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhashyam Brahma Sutranam. The Vedanta Sutra says, answer, the first aphorism is, Athata Brahma Jigyasa, Brahma, the Absolute. That is the main business of the human life, to inquire about the Absolute Truth. Here everything is related to. I am the son of my father. My father is the son of his father. His father is the son of his father. Go on. Everything is related. But who is the Absolute? Who is the Absolute? That inquiry is called Brahma Jigyasa. Where from the, who is the original father? That if you go on, searching like that, within this universe, you'll find Lord Brahma is the origin. He is called therefore Pitamaha, Lord Brahma. But if you still inquire further, who is the father of Brahma? Then you come to Garbhodak Sai Vishnu, From the Bhagavata thigh Vishnu, from his abdomen, there sprouted a lotus flower, and the lotus flower, Brahma, was born. Therefore Brahma's another name is Swayambhu. He did not come out through the womb of his mother. Although the mother was present, Garbhodak Sai Vishnu, you have seen the picture, Lakshmiji is massaging the lotus feet of Vishnu, and Brahma is sprouted from the abdomen. So, this is called omnipotency. Generally, we have got idea that a child is born from the yoni. But here, Krishna gives birth to a child without the help of his wife and from his abdomen. This is called omnipotency. We say God is omnipotent, but how God is omnipotent, we do not know practically. Here is omnipotence. That is explained in the Brahma Sangita. Angani jasya sakalendriya vittimanti pashyanti paanti kalayanti chirang jaganti ananda chinmaya sadu jalavigrahasya govindamadi purusantamangala. Krishna, he can act anything with any limb part of his body. Krishna can eat with his eyes, and Krishna can hear with his eyes. Krishna can cut by touching. These are there in the Shastra. Just like Krishna, when entered Mathura, he asked the washerman of Kamsa to deliver some cloth, but he refused. The Krishna immediately cut off his head with his hand, without any ostra. So, that is omnipotency. Angani jasya sakalendriya vittimanti pashyanti paanti kalayanti. It's like we offer prasadam, we offer foodstuff to Krishna. Atheist class will say that we have offered Krishna this foodstuff, but he has not eaten. It is there, still lying. No, he does not see. He does not know that Krishna can eat simply by his glance, by seeing. He eats because he says in the Bhagavad Gita that patram puspam phalam toyam jumi bhaktya prajacchati tadaham asnami. Is he speaking lies? No, he eats. But we do not know his eating process. We compare Krishna as ourselves. If one plate is given to me, I immediately devour the whole thing. But Krishna, he is complete. He can eat the complete, still it remains complete. Purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate. So in this way, we have to understand Krishna from the Shastra, from the Vedas, then we shall understand Krishna. And once we understand Krishna, our life is perfect. Janma karma me dibbam yu janati tattva. Anyone who understands Krishna in truth, his life is perfect. Tattva deham punar janma naiti. The perfection of life is that after giving up this body, we shall not accept any more material body. That is perfection. The people do not know that. They think, people, the kurmis, they think that if we get a nice body in the heavenly planet, that is perfection. Sarvaloka. And the jnanis, they think that I am not this body, I am still soul. But somehow or other, if we finish my body and merge into the Brahma effulgence, that is perfection. The yogis, they think that we may keep this body, but with this body, if we can play some jugglery, magic, That is perfection. Sometimes we see somebody plays some juggling magic, little magic, not very nice magic. One cannot show greater magic than Krishna, because Krishna, when he was 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan hill with his little finger. So who can show this magic? There are so many imitation gods, but if I ask him that you just lift this 100 kilo burden with your finger, it will be very difficult for him. You see? So this kind of magic or this kind of perfection, the devotees do not want. The devotees, they say, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us, Nadhanangana janangana sundaring kavitang bhajagadi satamai mamo janamani janmani sare bhavatad bhakti rahai tuki dai. This is devotee. Therefore, devotee is called akama. They have no demand. They are satisfied in any condition of life. But they only pray to Krishna that his devotion to Krishna may not be disturbed. He doesn't want anything in exchange of his devotional service. That is pure devotion. Anna vilasita sunnam jnana karma lalabhritam. When we engage ourselves in this pure, unadulterated devotional service, then we qualify ourselves to see God. So long we are not pure devotees. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyamam abhijanam javana jasyami tattva. And when that stage of bhakti comes in, brahma bhuta prasanna atma na sochati na kankhati samas sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhati param. When one has self-realized, brahmaham brahmasmi, so long we are identifying with this body, identifying with this material existence, bodily existence, that is animal life, that is not human life. A human being, if he exists in his bodily concept of life, he remains animal. But when he is advanced in knowledge, he understands that he is not this body, he is different from this body. This is the perfection of bhakti. Thank you very much. Thank you.